Hebrews chapter 7. Last week we went over some things about Melchizedek and about his priesthood. We went over the lack thereof a need to return to Jerusalem and restore the physical nation of Judaism. And that we don't need to do that, but that we are really the true Jews, and this new covenant is God's plan. It was His original plan that we are a part of, and that that Jesus is in fact a high priest, and He is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, but not in the order of the law. And we're going to go through some more of that today. Actually, that was 2 weeks ago we did that, because last week we had the Wilson boys here. Caleb and Matt, pretty impressive young men. They're doing a lot of good work, and we really enjoyed having them here last week. But so 2 weeks ago is when we were in Hebrews chapter 7. We'll pick it up again today. We'll finish out the chapter and get into chapter 8 just a little bit. But let's start this morning with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this passage that we get to go through. Lord, I thank You for Your plan for us. I thank You that we are able to look into this this book that You have given us, and we can find truth, Lord. It's always convicting, Lord, but it's also encouraging. It's also it's never changing, Lord, because it is true and it is Your word, and it is it's something that You've given to us that we can look into. That we can find truth, that we can find how to be more like You, and how to have a better relationship with You, Lord. We thank You for Your love for us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll start in verse 11 today. We're just kind of getting into the purpose of why there was a need for a priest to come in the order of Melchizedek. And so we'll just start and we'll just go through it after a little bit here. And verse 11 says, "Now if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, from the basis of the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron?" Okay, so we've been going through Exodus in the class, and the Levitical priesthood was what they got high priest through. That was from the tribe of Levi, descendants of Aaron. Aaron was the brother of Moses, and through that was the priests throughout time. We even read this morning in Exodus chapter 27 when we did our scripture reading that he was Aaron and his sons were in charge of taking care of it and being on guard and being the priests for the tabernacle. They were the guys that did the sacrifices and the guys that did all of the washings, and they to go in they had to have the blood on their ear and the blood on their hand and on their thumb and the blood on their toes, and they had to have the special garments and everything to go in. But Jesus was not born a Levite. He was from the tribe of Judah. But let's continue on. Verse 12, it says, "For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also." Now, looking at that, kind of, if we looked at it like in our country, okay, the president, for instance, so it probably wouldn't be so much for our country, but like if you've ever watched a Hallmark movie about another country where there was a king or a queen or whatever, for something to change a line after, you know, so-and-so had all their problems, and they come back and they went off to the random cottage and met their love of their life, all that stuff, you know, in those movies. After a while, they have to change the law for this person to change and become the king, for this person to change and become the queen. There has to be a change of law. Now, to look at the priesthood of the Levites, the priests of the high priests of the Jews, for a change to come in, for them, for somebody who was not a part of that to be high priest, there had to be a change of law. Now, what that is, and the reason that he's writing this, we have to remember this is written to Christians who were formerly Jews. And they're struggling with the idea that Judaism is no longer. And they're struggling with the idea that all that stuff is going to be changed. But what he's saying here is that for that, there was a change in the law. It's no longer the old covenant, it's the new covenant. It's no longer the old law, but it's the law of liberty. And now we have the high priest in Jesus, who is not of the order of the Levites, but the order of Melchizedek. Verse 13, it says, "For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no one has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. And this is clear still if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of law, a physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life." Let's go over to Rome. Let's go jump back into Hebrews chapter 7 earlier, though, verse 3. And this is talking about Melchizedek. Let's just start in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 7. It says, "From Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met with Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom he also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all his spoils, was first of all, by translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he abides a priest perpetually." Perpetually is forever. He had no life. He had no beginning of life. He had no end of life. And in verse 16, when we read that, and it says it wasn't that he was a part of the physical, but it was because of his indestructible life that he became a priest. He did not have beginning of days. He did not have end of days. And we read about Jesus in many places. We read about him in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, where it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's talking about Jesus. He was there at the beginning. He had no beginning. He was pre-earth. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation of Jesus Christ chapter 22. Last chapter of the Bible. We'll read verse 12. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." That's Jesus talking there. Jesus was not a priest off of physical life. He was a priest off of the spiritual life that he has lived forever. Both directions. When you think about forever, we always tend to think about the future. When it's forever, it's both directions, as far as it can go. All the way, never ending. That's how Jesus is. That's his life that he has lived. That is the indestructible life. We obviously have read about him conquering death when on earth. He wasn't bound by the physical death on this earth. He conquered that and moved on. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 16, it says, "And he became such not on the basis of law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life." Verse 17, "For it is witnessed of him, thou art priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For one, on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God." Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 now. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. It says, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There was a need for a change. And the reason that Jesus came is because the law could not take away sin. The continually, daily, and yearly, and weekly, and monthly sacrifices could not take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats we read about in Hebrews later on, it could not take away sin. There was a need for a change. The question was asked in verse 7, in verse 11 of chapter 7, why then was there a need for somebody to rise from the order of Melchizedek? Because it was not working how it was. But it wasn't that it was a failed plan. God knew from the beginning that it was not going to work, but that it was going to be a reminder of sins and a tutor for people, but it wasn't the perfect that was coming. It wasn't the plan that he had. It was just something to bridge the gap to get us to that point. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 20, it says, "And inasmuch as was not with an oath, for they indeed became priests without an oath, but he," speaking of Jesus, "with an oath, through the one who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, thou art a priest forever.'" Let's turn back to Psalm chapter 110. That's actually not how you're supposed to say the 110th Psalm. The 110th Psalm. We'll get into this chapter in the Wednesday night class in about 2 years. Maybe. Psalm 110, verse 4, it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at thy right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink of the brook of the wayside. Therefore, he will lift up his head." Again, this is just hundreds of years in advance. They're talking about him being of the order of Melchizedek. But we see that it's talking about Jesus, because he is at the right hand of God now. That is what it's talking about. And we see that, and we've talked a couple of weeks ago about Jesus and Melchizedek being the same. It's not two separate people there. Jesus was Melchizedek. But see, we oftentimes think, okay, Jesus came to this earth in 80 or BC 1 or year 0 or whatever it is, whatever they date that at. We picture Jesus coming to this earth, so that's when he began. But he did not begin there. That is when his physical life began. That is when he left heaven to come down to be on earth to sympathize with us and to live this life. But that is not the beginning of Jesus. Jesus was way before that, and he's way after that. He is forever both directions. Let's go back to Hebrews, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 22, it says, "So much more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And the former priests, on one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently." Again, the old priests were bound by their physical lives, and that was the length that they were the priests. Jesus is not bound by the physical life. He is not a physical priest. He is a spiritual priest forever and ever. While they were greater in number, he is greater overall. Verse 25 says, "Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." We read about in John. Actually, we can just go over there. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, we'll start in the first verse. It says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation of for our sins, and not for ours only, but for all those of the whole world." Jesus is our advocate with the Father. He intercedes on our behalf. See, the priest before under the law, the normal Jew could come to the outside of the tabernacle, and he could talk to the priest and give him their lamb and give him the goat and stuff, and they would go and they would go for them into the tabernacle and into the Holy of Holies and to make the sacrifices, but they had no access to God. Just the priest did. But now us, in our new covenant, because Jesus is our high priest, we have access directly to him because he lives inside of us. And that's what's so much greater about this covenant than there was the old one. Verse 22, it says, "So much more that Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant." We talked about it a lot in class, about the everything to do with the tabernacle and how it all fit together was just really a shadow of the things to come and the things of our covenant. And the idea of the priests and how they are, we are a kingdom of priests. And we have access to God through Jesus, who is our high priest, because he is an interceder for us and he is an advocate. Verse 26 says, "For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins and then the sins of the people, because he did once for all when he offered himself up." Turn over to chapter 10 of Hebrews. We're not going to have to preach chapter 10 because I'm pretty sure we've used pretty much all of the chapter and all of our sermon so far in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he," speaking of Jesus, "having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus put an end to it. There's no longer a need for sacrifices because he was a sacrifice once for all. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." Again, Jesus is the way. He is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But he came and he suffered on this earth, having been made perfect, all those who obey him, he is the hope, and he is the source of eternal salvation. Turn back one more chapter to verse 4, or chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need." That part in verse 15, he was without sin. Chapter 7 that we were in, verse 28, verse 26. 6, he was holy, innocent, undefiled. Verse 27, who does not need daily, like those other high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins, first for his own sins, and then the sins of the people, because this he did once for all, offering up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Jesus came to this earth, he lived perfectly, he was perfect before he was physical, perfect while he was physical, and he's perfect after he was physical. Verse 1 of chapter 8 says, now the main point in what has been said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. The tabernacle, we read about it in Exodus, we've read about it, we've been studying it in Exodus in the class, was only a shadow of something greater to come. The one that was not built physically, the one that was not built with hands, but the one that was built by the Lord, that the Lord pitched and not man. Verse 3, it says, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Hence it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. It was a shadow of something greater to come. The tabernacle was built as a shadow of what is happening now. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He is on the throne. He is our high priest, and we have access to him all the time. Verse 6 says, but now he has attained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. It is something that we can be very thankful for, that we are a part of this covenant, that we have that access to him, that he is our high priest, the greatest high priest ever, and that he will be forever. And that we can have an audience with him, just being normal people. Jesus is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, not on the basis of physical life, not on the basis of physical genealogies, but on the basis of spiritual genealogy. He is our king and he is our high priest. So much better than what it was. He is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. That's something we should be thankful for. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for this wonderful covenant that you have made with us, Lord, that we actually can have access to you, Lord, being that you are living inside of us, that your spirit is inside of us, Lord. We thank you so much for just your love for us. We thank you for this plan that you have made for us. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made to come to this earth, to suffer this, the pains of this earth, to suffer and die. But Lord, we are so thankful that you conquered death, that you raised from the dead, that you are truly sitting on that throne, and you are our high priest and our king. We thank you for that, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.